In 1887, breech-loading rifles were widely available in Europe, so that it was possible to use these breech-loading rifles to fire off more rounds per second, per minute than had previously been the case in the past. And at approximately the same time, the so-called Maxim gun was developed. It's a forerunner of the machine gun, which meant that Europeans were able to fire, using this Maxim gun, 11 rounds per second. What this did was to give European military powers an ability to intervene against far greater odds in terms of manpower, but to use this military technology to subdue the indigenous peoples of Africa and elsewhere. Europeans, in other words, were no longer to remain on the coasts. Now they saw the rich prospect of moving inland and exploiting the resources, both natural and human, in the interior. In 1885, a conference in Berlin set the ground rules for European imperialism in this period. It already by 1885, it was clear that somehow a new round of expansion was in the works. And in order to establish certain parameters so that European powers would not come into conflict with one another and could establish certain clearly recognized rights, claims on territory, certain ground rules for this expansion were agreed upon by the Europeans. A European nation with holdings on the African coast had first claimed the territory in the interior behind those coastal regions. That was clear. You already had established a pattern of trade. You already had trading stations there. Then you had first claim on that hinterland that lay beyond. But those rights had to be sustained by genuine occupation. That is, there had to be a military presence there, and you had to establish some form of civil administration. You simply couldn't have trading posts. You simply couldn't send a few missionaries or traders upriver. There had to be some really coherent presence in terms of administration, civil administration, and a military presence as well. So this was to establish the ground rules. What this penetration into the interior also allowed, and what also would make this new imperialism different from what had come before, was it allowed a far greater and more extensive exploitation of the indigenous populations, as the economies of the colonies now would become more closely tied to those of the European states. It meant that whatever progress in developing certain economic resources there might be, because they would be so tied to the needs of the mother state, as the Europeans would think of it, that these colonies would develop in ways that were not necessarily beneficial to themselves, but would meet the needs of the metropole back in Europe. It also created, as I said, exploitation of a sort that had rarely been seen before. In the 1890s, for example, France put large areas of the French Congo under the administration of private rubber companies, which brutally forced the local population to collect rubber. The French government finally had to step back in. There was a hue and cry in Paris about this, a sense of outrage against humanity that the state had simply stood by and allowed private companies to go in. In fact, chartered these private companies to go in to collect rubber, and that they had really exploited the local population. The Belgian Congo was perhaps the most ruthless in this regard, had the worst reputation in Europe and around the world. The most notorious and merciless exploitation was to be found there. Leopold II had seen the Congo as his own sort of private, arena. And private possession. Finally, under pressure from the international community, the Belgian Congo became a formal Belgian colony. But it is the Belgian Congo that would prompt a great deal of commentary in Europe, and is also the basis of Joseph Conrad's classic Heart of Darkness, is a trip up the Congo and the scene of European imperialism, the depiction of European imperialism, everyone would have understood at the time was of Belgian activities in the Congo.